You know, you got to change the theme when the guests are dancing and they're not dancing in a complimentary way. For 90.7 WFAE, this is Charlotte Talks.
I'm Mike.
I beg your pardon? What?
That was the cutest little song.
Well, bring it up. Let's hear more of it. Let's bring
it
up.
It was a combination of Sesame Street. It's a cute song. You just want to pinch somebody's cheek after that song and say, that's a cute one.
How do I start this now? I don't know how to start this now. That's Richard Simmons. That's probably all I need to say. You know, diets are like fashions. They come and they go, but not Richard Simmons. 35 years, but you...
Always in fashion. Always telling the truth.
I got to tell you, I have not spoken to a guest across the desk who has worn sequins since I talked to Katharina Vitt.
Now, these are not sequins, okay? These are Swarovski crystals.
Oh, they're actually crystals.
These are from Austria. And I wear these tank tops a few times, and then I give them to a charity for a fundraiser.
Okay.
And they make a lot of money.
I'll bet they do. How many phone calls did you make this morning?
I've been doing all radio this morning. I will most probably go back to my room and do anywhere from... I'll get most probably 50 phone calls in from letters and emails that I've received. That's what I do every day, you know.
It's amazing to me.
Well, you know... there's a lot of people out there, and they come and go in the fitness and in the weight loss world. And they lie, and they sell products that don't work, and they break people's hearts. Mm-hmm. So I decided when I began my career 35 years ago, when I opened my first exercise studio in Beverly Hills, that I was going to tell people the truth. Because I was 268 pounds, and I went on some really stupid diets, Michael. I starved. I took laxatives. I was on diet pills. I threw up. I went through all the disorders. And then when I was in college, and I hear that you love Italy,
mm-hmm.
because I went to college in Florence, and I go to Florence and Venice every year. And someone put a note on my car that said, "Dear Richard, you're very funny, but fat people die young." And even though I'm from New Orleans, I was 200 pounds in the eighth grade. I, you know, love Louisiana fried foods. I never thought that death was part of that equation. No one had ever said that to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I love life so much that I had to lose the weight. So I starved. For 2.5 months, I just drank water and ate iceberg lettuce. I lost 137 pounds, ended up in a hospital half dead. And at that point, I had to ask myself a question. Was I going to live or was I going to die?
Mm-hmm.
And I decided I wanted to live. And I began looking at portions of food, and I began walking, just doing anything. And I started to get healthy.
And you did this all on your own?
All on my own.
You figured this out by yourself?
Well, you know, it really isn't that difficult to figure out.
Well, I'm not sure that's true, because a lot of people have tried to lose weight, and as you say...
But they don't listen to their common sense, Michael.
Okay.
That, you know, they're watching an infomercial, lose 10 pounds over the weekend,
mm-hmm.
put this gadget on your stomach, and you'll have a six-pack... drink this liquid, take this surgery.
Mm-hmm.
No, we know it doesn't work, but it's that following the weight loss rainbow. You know, everybody wants to grab onto the tail of that rainbow and lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
And when I began my career, I took these little pieces of construction paper and I cut out red ones, and they were the protein pieces, and I cut out yellow ones, and they were the fat, and I created something for myself called Deal-A-Meal. This is back in the, 70s. And I started teaching that at my studio, and I began teaching sort of light aerobics, just getting people to move. And 35 years has passed, and I've seen a lot come and go. But the truth of the matter is, the common sense formula to lose weight and get healthy is, number one, like yourself. No matter what you weigh, no matter how much money you make, no matter where you live, and no matter what car you drive, you must love yourself.
That's hard for some people.
Well, but that's the
particularly
whole...
if they look in the mirror and don't like what they see.
Yeah. And then you got to watch your portions and you got to move your body.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing has changed since then. You know, I've watched the high carb, the low carb, the no fat, the high fat, the low fat, the no protein, the high protein. And what Americans don't realize is it's all about balance. God made 6 food groups. He's not making any more. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what you eat in this town, whether it's a Bojangles biscuit or whether it's a steak, everything counts for the right portions. And all I do is just try to teach people that. And it's hard. I mean, I'm getting thousands of emails now, and I call hurricane weight gain. thousands of people who have parked in front of the TV, who have watched Katrina, they're watching Rena, they're gaining weight, they're eating a lot of stuff that they don't normally eat, they're sitting for hours, they're not moving, and they're writing me and saying, I just gained 12 pounds watching Hurricane Katrina. And how paradoxical that is when many of these people are starving in Louisiana and are waiting for another truck to bring them food.
Richard Simmons is our guest, and as I sit here listening to you talk and looking at you across the table, I realize how many times I have seen you on television over the years. I can't probably count them, and on very different shows where you're sometimes talking about what you're talking about here and sometimes just taking the brunt of people's jokes, et cetera. And it occurs to me that many of us, unless they go to your website or they've been to your studio or they have bought some of your products, don't really know much about Richard Simmons, except that you're an exercise guru and you wear tank tops and short shorts and you have the hair and you're a fairly energetic individual. They don't know much about you.
Fairly energetic.
Well, you're being subdued this morning.
Well,
you're
I'm being
on
subdued because
this
is because you
top
follow
show of record, as
you follow the lead of your host. So when you start singing some Broadway shows, I will be along there doing it with you.
Oh.
But this is a very serious subject, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I travel 250 days a year. I'm here to do the Southern Woman Show to teach a big exercise class tonight. But all I am is a court jester. All I am is a clown. That's all I've wanted to be.
Really?
I love making people laugh, whether it's laughing with me or at me. I love helping people.
Now, why is that? I can see people laughing with you, but why don't you mind people laughing?
Because laughter is laughter. No matter if it's with you or at you, it's still laughter. And I, I began in New Orleans, and my parents were very poor, and my father was a stay-at-home dad, and my mother sold Coty lipsticks in a department store on Canal Street. And I didn't understand that as a child. I didn't understand why my father was at home and why my mother had to work, and it very much upset me. And I started selling pralines on the street corner, and some people laughed at me doing that, and some people
laughed.
Who
made them, by the way?
Leah's Southern Confection on St. Louis Street. Some people laughed that I was doing that, but I went home with money that I'd bring on my parents' bed, and I'd throw all the money in the bed and go, let's pay the rent. Let's buy some clothes. So it was important for me.
How old were you?
Eight.
Eight?
Yeah.
And there's nothing in the law down there that prevents an eight-year-old from hawking pralines on the street?
Well, we didn't call it hawking. some kids shine shoes. I just said, look, there's a long line at Brennan's. There's a long line at Antoine's. And they're not going to get in to eat for a while. I'm going to go sell them candy. And, I have a wonderful life, and I love what I do. But I have a very serious career. I deal with death every day. I deal with people who've had strokes, heart attacks, diabetics. Today I have to call a lady who is a diabetic and they just cut off her leg, so I have to call and cheer this woman up. So my work is very serious, but I put the court jester hat on because that's the way that I can best get my message across.
I know show business is show business, but I sometimes have seen you on Letterman, and he can be just brutal. I mean, just brutal. And you have this anger about you sometimes with him. How much of it is show business on either side of the
equation? I'm going to tell you the truth about David Letterman. I don't even know who he is. I've never met him except for on the stage. When you go to the studio, they take you, put you in an elevator, and put you in your room and lock it.
Really?
Yes.
to protect you from the late show bear.
You stay in that room and until it's time for you to come to the stage. And then when you go to the stage, you do the show. And then you leave. So I've never actually met the man. No guests have. He has a very strange relationship with people. So what you see on the show is what you get.
Right.
It's not rehearsed. There's nothing done preliminary. I just walk on and do my thing.
So are you angry?
At who?
At Dave.
No. Look, there's not too many people. If you look around, with personalities, actors and actresses, there's not a lot of people who can take his banter. And there's not a lot of people who can, thrill the audience.
Does he like it when you give it back to him?
Well, I guess he did. I've done the show like 100 times.
So I guess he does, yeah.
It's just trying to find that.
And it's
that,
freezing in there, I'm told.
It's about, I'm going to say it's about 45 degrees.
And you're in there in your outfit. You must freeze today.
In my uniform.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Batman, Superman, and Richard Simmons.
So you must be, why does he keep it that cold? To keep you on edge?
No, that's just the temperature he likes. You know, it's Dave's show. It's Dave's air. It's Dave's words. Mm-hmm. And that's about it.
Okay. You are, as you said this several times, you are from New Orleans. And I was going to start with questions about New Orleans.
Sure.
Because I know that you went back home and covered it for Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah.
And were with people in that city, which has been devastated and maybe hit yet again this weekend. Talk to me a little bit about New Orleans and what you saw there and what you experienced and what it was like and how it affected you, because I know that you've referred to that city as your mother, as your grandmother or something.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's my second mother. It's a very unique city, unlike any city that I've ever visited in the world. And Entertainment Tonight called me and asked me if I would do a one-to-one with Mary Hart. Mm-hmm. So I went down.
Can anyone do that, really? I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Now he's being cute. Here I am trying to get really serious. And look at him, Mr. Broadway here. So I did the interview, and it was very upsetting for me because I had to talk about stuff that I hadn't seen. So Mary Hart said, would you be our person to go down? And so I did. I went to, I began in Shreveport, Louisiana, and went to a couple shelters there and served food, brought my boom box, got my music, got people up, stretching. Then I went to Lafayette, Louisiana, and then I surprised my brother in Natchitoches, Louisiana, where he was evacuated. Mm. Then I went to Baton Rouge, and then we took the drive into New Orleans, where I saw dead bodies on cars floating in water. I saw neighborhoods that I knew very well, completely underwater, where you could hardly know it was a city or a parish. I saw desperation. I saw anger. I was on Canal Street in the French Quarter, and Canal Street's where, you know, I was raised two blocks away, and it was like Venice. There was, you could have put gondolas on both sides of the, you know, the medium. And I talked to a lot of people. And then I came back home with the footage, but I've had nightmares about it. I lost weight, not being able to eat. You know, while some people get upset and they eat, I went the reverse with this because I just couldn't even swallow. I felt guilty eating. Actually, I felt guilty just wearing clean clothes and driving in a car. You know, they were letting no one in New Orleans except FEMA. And hospitals and policemen and firemen. And I had to go, you had to go eight different police places to get okayed. And the last one was somebody my brother went to school with. So I got right into New Orleans and saw it all.
FEMA couldn't get in, but Richard Simmons could.
What do you think of that?
We're going to come right back.
Must have been these tank tops. FEMA didn't wear these.
Must have been. Our program is made possible in part today by the Blumenthal Performing Arts Center, presenting Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors, wop de wop, Little Shop of Horrors.
Broadway's mean.
Suddenly Seymour is standing beside me.
I didn't know you could sing. I didn't know you could sing.
I think you should continue this thing. This is the.
They're paying for this. I should do this. Yeah. Our program is made possible in part by the Blumenthal Performing Arts Center, presenting Little Shop of Horrors, not performed by Richard Simmons. Broadway's Mean Green Laugh Machine at Ovens Auditorium today through Sunday. Details at 704-372-1000. And by the Charlotte Bobcats Arena, welcoming Elton John in concert. No music?
Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road.
November 12th. Tickets available at 800-495.
I remember when rock was young.
800-495.
Philadelphia freedom. I love you.
I
do.
800-495-2295 or cellardoor.com.
Hurricane Rita bears down on the Texas coast. A first vote on Supreme Court nominee John Roberts. And Washington prepares for an anti-war demonstration. These stories and more on our weekly news roundup, The Diane Rehm Show, Friday.
And as always, you're invited to join the conversation on the News Roundup on the Diane Reeves Show, this morning at 10 on 90.7 FM WFAE.
Feet on the avenue I'm taking you to.
42nd Street. You have a high voice. You can sing. This man can sing. Richard Simmons
can belter.
Sing.
I'm a belter.
And I know you've
I have Ethel Merman's lungs. I bought them at Sotheby's. I'm a belter. That's, you know, when I go to do my exercise classes and everyone sings along with the songs and... It's just great.
For those of you listening at night, or for those of you listening when we will inevitably play this back in an archive position, in the break, Richard, we had two underwriting credits, one for Little Shop of Horrors and one for Elton John. And we barely got through them because Richard was singing every song
well,
in Little Shop of Horrors.
Well, you were singing, too. You did a little singing there. You were doing the bop-de-bops in the back. Look, you know.
Gigged me on.
Look,
here,
you
all.
Know you love your job here.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to move to New York. You know it. You know you're going to give up the pretty house and the car. And one day you're going to say goodbye here. And you're going to get in your car. And you're going to drive to New York to find what you really want. This is just your stuff. This is just purgatory for you.
I'm just writing this down because I got first, FEMA can't get in. Richard Simmons can. And now Richard's going to be my agent, right?
No, you know what?
Because you're starting your own satellite radio show next month.
On Sirius Satellite Radio.
Let's be serious for a second.
October 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm very excited. It's done at my studio that I've had for 35 years.
This is Slimmons?
It's at Slimmons mm-hmm. with a live audience. And
wow.
I have a computer and I have a fax machine. And I have thousands of letters in front of me from people who want to talk to me. And so I read the letter, the synopsis of the letter, and then I pick up the phone and call them. And talk with them.
Wow.
And see if I can help. I also have success stories on the 3-hour program where you get to meet people who've lost 100, 200, 300 pounds. Mm-hmm. You'll get to hear survival stories. And it's a show that, like this one, you learn more and you feel more educated about what you want to do in your life by listening to good radio.
Mm.
And there's not a show like this on the air. I do little song parodies about weight loss, and I play music, but it's mostly all about people, you know, just all about helping people.
So you say you do this. You've done rehearsals of this show already?
No, I have not.
No prototypes. So
None.
You're just planning. You're speaking
well,
in the present
tense.
Well,
every day I call 50 to 100 people. You know,
so
I sit
you just
there
on the air.
And I just read the letter, and I'm in tears, and I just pick up the phone and call them.
Hmm.
You know, 50% of the letters I get are from people saying, "Dear Richard, I'm overweight. I've tried everything." And the other 50% is, "Dear Richard, can you call my mother? Can you call my wife? Can you call my husband? Can you call my 18-year-old kid?"
Mm-hmm.
So half of them is cold calls, which means these people don't know I'm calling. I'm just going to pick up the phone and call them.
Wow.
See if I can help.
Wow.
I love to help. I just love to help people. It's just something that my parents taught me. My parents worked for the Volunteers of America and the Junior League, and they always did charity work. So I've been doing charity work since I'm a little kid. And I just love it. I love to see people happy. I love to see success stories.
Where does that come from, do you think? This desire to make people happy? Because evidently you were not happy as a child.
Well, you know, a little bit of both. You know, I had my issues because I didn't understand my weight problem as a child, and I had no help with it. You know, your mother just said, "Oh, it's baby fat." You know, I'm 57 years old. Back then it was, "Don't worry, it's baby fat. You'll grow out of it." Well, I didn't grow out of it. You know, when I was in eighth grade, my father had to take my khaki uniforms and slit the seams and put additional fabric in. I was 200 pounds. I was the shortest.
How tall?
In eighth grade. I mean, I was a little thing. You know, I'm not a big person. And then I went to high school and ate again and went up to 268 pounds. And, you know, I never understood why people treated me so differently because I didn't think I acted like a fat person. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I had this personality and I was singing and I was joyous. But yet, you know, I didn't fit in. I was never around people my own age. My parents were much older when they had me. My mother was 39. My father was 50. So I hung around with their friends. So I had no relationship with the kids my age. All people I knew were bartenders and strippers from Bourbon Street. And you know, I just knew show business people and antique people and praline people. You know, it was a wonderful experience, except I just couldn't figure out why people treated you so differently when you were a person of girth. That was a hard problem for me.
And people do, don't they? And that's part of it. We don't admit it. We don't talk about it very much, but people do.
It's terrible. I mean, you know, I'll get letters saying, "Dear Richard, my wife's a pig. Christ almighty, I don't even want to sleep with her. You call her." Well, I call the husband and go, "How dare you? Don't you ever say those things about your wife. Don't you ever say that in front of other people about your wife. What kind of a love and respect do you have for this woman?" So, you know, it's very tough. It's very tough. We live in a society that thinks overweight people are stupid, sloppy, ignorant, in general. You know, and that's wrong. That's the wrong assumption. And well, I'll fight the rest of my life.
Educate us a little bit, because a lot of people do think that. You're exactly right. And I guess to change your mind, you have to be enlightened. And you've been on both sides of the fence here. You've been overweight, and now you're not, and you haven't been for 35 years. And you're obviously in shape, and you obviously eat right, and you help people every day.
Every day.
Do this. I mean, I have something here. You talked to a guy named Greg Overholzer, who at the top of his weight was 646 pounds. I can't even fathom that, but he was having trouble fitting into things like seats. And he's now lost, with your help, 295 pounds.
Now it's 320.
And wow.
And he's here in Charlotte. I'll see him tonight.
So he's hovering around 320 pounds.
Yes.
Still overweight, but he's made remarkable
progress. Well, he got a job, and he has self-respect and self-esteem, and you know.
So help me to understand how people get to 646 pounds. How people like Richard Simmons at the age of 18 was 200 and what did you say you
68.
Were? 68 pounds. How does that happen?
Well, easily.
Okay.
You just get depressed, and someone will say something negative to you, and then you'll turn to food. And then it's your birthday and you're happy and you'll turn to food. And you go out to get a job and someone says, "You don't smell good. You must have very bad hygiene at your weight." And so they go and eat more. And then as you keep eating and getting more depressed, you start to build a wall around you. And it's a comfort wall. Mm-hmm. And it's a wall that you don't let people in. And then, you know, every time I talk to a housebound person, Michael, yesterday I talked to an 800-pound man, an 1,100-pound man, a 1,000-pound woman, who is just in bed. They go to the bathroom in bed. Someone cleans it up. They bring food to them. They take a sponge bath in bed. It's very, very tragic. You know, you don't see these people because they're housebound. And I go and fly and see them and try to get them in a rehab center. You know, their hair is stuck to their bed. Their skin is growing out of the fabric of their clothes. Families, you know, push them away.
So it's a psychological problem and an addiction problem.
And it is, but then it becomes a medical and physical problem, right. You know.
And we don't treat it like that. We treat it like somebody's lazy.
We treat it like
slothful,
leprosy.
And,
We treat it like they're lepers, you know. Oh, they're fat. They won't hear us. Oh, they're fat. They won't feel that. They're fat.
And I would think, since you believe, and I think you're right about this, obviously, that the key to this is diet and exercise.
It's got to be a combination. You know, you can't just, everybody wants to do one or the other. Well, most people hate to exercise.
Yep.
Hate it. And that's why God made me, so I could be cute and effervescent and get real music and get them feeling good. I mean, that's what I live for. I live for my next class. But you got to do the food too.
Yeah. But when you're talking about somebody who's 18, and I don't know how tall you were at 18, but 18 years old and 268 pounds, or this fellow here who was 646 pounds, they're not going to be able to do very much in terms of exercise. Many of them can't walk across the room.
Well, so I do videos for people.
How do you start?
Well, how do you start?
Where do you start?
You have to start by getting a complete physical. And usually, you know, I try to help them find a doctor, because many doctors do not want to have a patient that is 600 pounds. They just don't want it. It's very, you know, it's not fashionable to be overweight and obese. And so it's sometimes very difficult to find people to help. I do videos for people in chairs called Sit Tight, where they can do everything from a chair. But the first thing I try to do is I try to find out what their health is like. You know, are they diabetic? Is their blood pressure high? What's their cholesterol like? What are their triglycerides? And then I work with the doctor to see what's best for this person. But they can't do it alone. And there's very few rehab centers in the United States. And I'm attached to all of them. So I can call Far Rockaway, New York at Brookhaven Rehab and say, I have a 700-pound woman here. You got to go come get her and bring her there. You just got to for me. Mm-hmm. You just got to do this for me. And then I go and I visit these rehab centers and I keep pumping them with information, pumping them with motivation to say, look, you've lost 100 pounds. Now we're going to work on the next 50. Yeah. And you're going to get out of here. You're going to get off welfare and SSI disability. You're going to get a job and you're going to have a life.
And isn't that part of it seems to me that you don't become 646 pounds overnight. It took a long time to get there. So it's going to take a long time to get to 198 pounds from 646 pounds, if ever. So how do you keep them? That's got to be
inspired.
Yeah, inspired.
My phone calls, when they see me on television, when they watch my infomercials.
And you don't get paid for this part of your job, do you?
No, but I've done okay.
I know.
I've done okay. And I don't know. I just get up every morning and go, okay, God, what do you want me to do today? You just lead me and tell me what you want me to do. How many calls you want me to make? How many people you want me to see? What hospitals will I go to teach classes? You know, will I see a housebound person tonight when I go do the Southern Women Show tonight at 7 o'clock? Who will I meet? Will I be able to touch them? Mm-hmm. I believe very much in prayer, so I pray after all of my classes.
Collectively or just by yourself?
No, collectively. With everybody in the room. Mm-hmm. Whether I'm doing a cruise to lose, where I'm taking 400 overweight people on a cruise of eating healthy and exercising, whether I'm in a city doing an exercise class, no matter where I am, I just try to make people feel better than before they met me.
Do you ever get tired? I mean, 250 nights on the road, 250 days and nights on the road, that's a lot. I mean, that is two-thirds of the year or more.
Yes.
And it has to take a toll on where you eat, what you eat, how can you exercise, how much you can exercise, because you're in a strange place and you haven't got your comfort zone around you, and you can't really control your life as well as you could if you stayed in one place.
But I've learned to do that. You know, I've learned to adapt no matter where I am to what food, what hotel I'm in. It doesn't matter. That stuff doesn't matter to me anymore. What matters to me is my mission. And my mission is for people to move their minds in the right direction, to move their fork in the right direction, and to move their body in the right direction. And while I see all these other people who have come on TV with products that are wrong, I feel very angry because why should we lie to these people to make a buck?
Do you think they're doing it intelligently? Intentionally?
Yes.
Because I know that you're not a fan.
When you're selling a diet pill, and on the air, and you're making all of these false claims, and then they send in their $125, I think you should be ashamed of yourself.
You're not a fan of the Atkins diet, are you?
I'm not a fan of diets.
Okay.
If you take the word diet and break it up in syllables, the first syllable is die. I am in favor of a
live. Die from what you eat.
Yeah. I'm in favor of a live it, something you have to live by every day, nothing you have to die by every day.
Okay.
I don't believe in mixing and excluding food groups. I think all food groups are there for a person, for a purpose. I went to the grocery store the other night, and I said, I'm going to go to all the areas that sell starches, okay? Do you know that 75% of the store is starches? 75.
I have no doubt.
Where they go to the produce for the pumpkins and the potatoes and the yams and the corn and the peas. Where they go to the crackers, the potato chips, the cookies, the bakery. I mean, no matter the rice, the frozen stuff, no matter where you go. The food industry has made us carb-aholic. We always seem to grab for a carb or something sweet.
It's comfort food. It's very good. That's why when I go to the laundry section, I buy the sizing and not the spray starch.
Well, that's a lovely thing. That's lovely. Thank you, Michael. That meant a lot to me in this conversation. But
no, but seriously.
No, I believe in getting up in the morning and having, you know, a good solid breakfast, watching your portions, eating salads, not eating dinner too. I mean, nothing, it's new.
What do you eat? What did you have for breakfast this morning?
I had a Bojangle biscuit.
Really?
Yes, I did.
Starch.
No, but I mean, I'm in the South. I've been to Charlotte many times.
And they're good, aren't they?
And I'll have a biscuit and a little orange juice because I don't normally have that at home. You know, in New Orleans, we never had biscuits. It wasn't a biscuit city. It was French bread and the beignet donuts and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. No, I eat real food, but, you know, I eat 1,800 calories a day and 35 grams of fat. When that is inside of me, then I shut the trough.
Explain to me what that means. 1,800 calories, 35 grams of fat. What is that like? What do you eat?
I eat salads, lots of salads. I eat chicken, fish. I eat vegetables.
Do you have dessert?
You know, it's usually on Saturday night. But I have very serious asthma. So I have to watch very carefully any kind of dairy in the evening.
Really?
Yeah. So I was born, you know, New Orleans, damp, humid, molding. Mm-hmm. I was in the hospital at least 4 to 5 days a week with my asthma. I had very bad, very bad asthma.
Was it hard to adopt this regimen, this food intake regimen? Obviously, you're probably used to it now, but was it difficult?
No, I just cut down, Michael. I eat everything that you would eat. Now, you're a little teeny thing, and most probably you can eat and not gain weight. But, you know, I can look at an ad, a Sara Lee ad in Good Housekeeping, and lick it and gain 2 pounds. So, I mean, I gain weight very quick. That's why I just watch my portions. Mm-hmm. You know, in the hotel I'm staying in last night, I decided to, you know, do some writing, and there was a snack. You know, there's this little snack thing there. I wanted every one of those snacks. It happened to be 8:30 at night, and I didn't touch any of them. Because where was I going to – I wasn't going to burn those calories. They were going to sit there. And that would have not made me very happy after I finished.
So where does the willpower come from? Where does that? That takes a lot
of willpower. Loving me and never wanting to be obese again. Hmm. You know, I still look in the mirror and think I'm fat. And that happens to a lot of people who've lost weight.
How much exercise do you do?
Hour a day.
Every day?
Every day. I get up this morning and do your push-ups, your sit-ups. I do 500 leg lifts. I do my stretching, and then I'll teach class tonight.
And people do think it's boring. So how have you moved beyond that?
I don't think Michael's ever seen one of my videos. Wait, let me. I'm just having an emotional crying moment here. I you know what I do?
I actually have seen one of your
videos. I weave a spell.
I'm asking a psychological question here.
Richard. I weave a spell around people with music and laughter and movement.
Yeah, but I'm talking about yourself. When you're by yourself in the hotel room and you're doing your leg lifts and your sit-ups and your crunches and your push-ups, that's really, I mean, I got to tell you, I used to do 500 crunches every morning.
And what happened?
Nothing. So
what do you
I stopped
mean nothing?
Doing them. Nothing.
What do you mean nothing happened?
I didn't get the six-pack, so I thought,
well, first of all, 500 is way too many.
Thank you.
But I just put on, I get up in this morning at 5 o'clock, I put on some radio stations with some music, and I just got into it.
What? You did what?
I put on some radio.
With music?
With music.
They play music on the radio?
Well, a couple stations, but they're in foreign countries. I just have a really good radio. And I just get it done.
We have to take a break.
And now another break.
That's right. We only two.
Oh.
All right. We're coming right back with Richard Simmons on WFAE. Our program is made possible in part today by the law firm of Helms, Mullis, and Wicker, helping businesses prepare for their future. HMW.com, because what matters most is what comes next. And by Charlotte Latin School, with a kindergarten open house September 29th at 7 p.m. and an open house for all grades October 6th at 9:30 a.m. Details and registration at 704-846-7207. Can I come on your serious show and sing in the breaks?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll be there. A panelist of journalists joins Steve Roberts, who's sitting in for Diane Rehm at 10 o'clock this morning, with an analysis of the week's top national and international news. That panel includes Jim Angle from Fox News, Finley Lewis from the Copley News Service, and Clarence Page from the Chicago Tribune. And if we leave these mics open, Richard Simmons. And in the second hour at 11 o'clock, historian James Preston names his latest book for the nickname given to the Dominicans the Catholic order established to eliminate heresy in the 15th century. The book is called Dogs of God, by the way. Preston talks about the events leading up to the Spanish Inquisition and how it transformed the world for Christians, Jews, and Muslims in 1492 and for all of us living today. He's the author of 12 previous books, by the way, including Warriors of God, The Last Apocalypse, and Galileo, A Life. That's all upcoming later on this morning. If you'd like to join our conversation with Richard Simmons, now's the time. 704-926.
You mean people can call up?
Yes.
Wow, this is so much fun.
Well, I'll give the number later. We're coming right back.
Another hurricane, another evacuation.
I'm going to stay in no kind of mess like this no more. Like I stayed last time in New Orleans, but I want to stay in Houston. I'm gone. The next place I'll be to the moon.
The latest on Hurricane Rita as it whirls toward the Texas and Louisiana coasts, and the rest of the day's news later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
That's this afternoon at 4 on 90.7 FM WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE, 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Richard Simmons, the one and the only.
Everybody's doing a brand new dance now.
He's here. And for those of you listening on Friday, September 23rd, 2005, he'll be at the Southern Women's Show tonight at the Merchandise Mart at 7 o'clock, speaking and doing a class.
Will you be coming?
You have my finger puppet on. I don't.
No, you're not coming.
I'm not coming.
I came all the way and schlepped all that traffic to come see Michael. And all now right. all no, no.
I could come, but
no,
I'm
you
not
don't
wearing,
want to
I'm
come.
Not wearing the short shorts because you. Have
and I brought
legs.
You a pair of tank tops and shorts.
I've never worn a tank top.
Oh. Well, you know, I never wore one either until I got these.
Really?
I never had.
But
one.
You're from New Orleans, and Stanley Kowalski is from New Orleans, and he wore tank tops, so you can wear them too.
That's it.
Okay. You like my finger puppet?
Yes.
I forgot where that came from. A guest left it here. I used to have a finger puppet. I had the finger puppet, and I used to have a set of Iditarod dog sled booties.
Well, that's just lovely.
It was wonderful, but somebody stole them from me.
Bad.
Yeah.
Bad karma.
All right, let me give out the phone number, because you want to
And now, the phone number.
The phone number is 704-926-WFAE. That's 704-926-9323, or 800-603-WFAE. Or you
and
can
look at all the lights. It looks like Christmas.
It is.
Just hear those sleighs bell ringing and jing, jing, jingling too.
We could put this on the Christmas show now. We're doing a little. We're starting to put together our Christmas show. Now we can put you on the Christmas show. Do it again.
It's the most fattening time of the year.
All right. You're on the show. We'll work it in somehow.
Thank you.
Let me start with Bill and Matthews. Hi, Bill.
Good morning. Richard, I worked with you in Forest City, North Carolina, a couple of months ago, I guess, with a woman who was morbidly obese and had lost, a couple hundred pounds, I believe, and had started her own weight loss classes. And we ambushed her, and you came in, and I've never seen so much hugging and crying in all my life. But these were happy, happy people, and I just want to applaud you for that.
You're hey, Bill, I remember you. How are you?
I am doing
we
fine.
We actually went to go see a woman named Kathy Buckner.
Yeah.
And Kathy Buckner has lost 235 pounds. When I met her, she was in a wheelchair. And guess what? She's driving to Charlotte tonight to be with me.
Oh, great.
So I'm very excited.
Bill, you should join Kathy and Richard at the Southern Women's Show.
Well, I'm at the airport on my way to Charlotte to do a documentary, or I would be.
Well, that's very sweet.
Yeah, talk about the experience at the church where they were having the classes with all the folks. And I mean, you just went over big time there.
Well, you know, this lady that I met, Kathy Buckner, she was in a wheelchair on oxygen. She was 340 pounds. And she was about at the end of her ropes. And I started calling her, and she started dropping weight. And then she decided she wanted to be a certified aerobic instructor. So she went to school and became aerobic instructor. And the exciting part is I went to Forest City to surprise her at a church where she teaches classes to ask her if she would like to be in my new video. So she flies out in October, and she's in my brand new disco video.
You know... All these shows like Extreme Makeover and
hate them.
I know, but you could do a show like that with a different twist.
Unfortunately, television with weight loss, it's all about competition. When they did The Big Loser,
yeah, they're doing
and these
that now.
Sort of
what do you
shows,
think about that show?
I was asked to host it. I think it's disgusting.
Really,
I think the makeover shows are horrible, where they take these women and shoot so much stuff in their lips and their chest, and they all look like drag queens. I mean, you know, it's horrible. I was watching that show, The Swan, when it came on, where these women looked nothing like a woman anymore. They looked like plastic. I don't think that's what God wanted. I think that God wanted you to take care of yourself and look the best you can look. But these shows sometimes are double-sword because you know, do you know how many hundreds of thousands of people write letters to Extreme Makeover?
I can only imagine.
You know,
and they are defining what beauty is.
Yeah, and then when they don't get picked, they feel worse than they did before.
They should feel better because they weren't bad enough to need the makeover.
Well, but they still feel terrible. I don't like any of those shows. I won't appear on them. I won't.
Okay.
You know, I don't think they're the right things for people to watch.
Bill, thank you very much for your call. Let me go to Chris in Charlotte. Welcome to the program, Chris.
Oh, hi.
Good morning.
Oh, keep singing, Richard. Keep singing.
How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing wonderful. I don't have a question, but I don't know where you find energy to connect to people, but keep on going with it.
Where are you from, Chris?
I'm from Charlotte.
Originally here?
No, I was born in Germany.
I could hear that. Munich, Frankfurt, Berlin, Düsseldorf, Hanover. Where are you from?
It's near Nuremberg.
Oh, I like the German people because they either like you
oh.
or they don't like you.
Well,
the Germans don't have a middle.
Oh, we like you, but you're just doing wonders.
Chris, are you taking care of yourself?
I am, and what got me going with listening to you is you got my husband going about 15 years ago with the oldies sweating and the meal plans,
mm-hmm.
and he started paying attention to diet and exercise, and shortly afterwards, we joined the Y.
Are you still going to the Y?
We are still going.
Oh, my goodness. Please say hello to everyone there.
More people
should go to the Y. More people do not join it. You know, I don't know what they charge here at the Y, but the Ys can also be a little expensive.
Well, but see, he wouldn't even attempt going until you really, the oldies tapes is what started him.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh, I can do this. And, you know, yeah, he can. And then you just connect with people. And your mother on one of the tapes warning us. Oh, it is so cute.
I have fun on my tapes. You know, Michael doesn't do my tapes. I don't know how often you listen to Mike Collins, but Mike doesn't do my tapes.
Oh, we listen to Mike every day, and we get the old tapes out, and we ordered some of the new stuff from you. It's just, they ought to give you some kind of knighthood next time you go to England or so.
That's so sweet.
It's wonderful.
Are you going to come to the women's show?
We're trying to, yes.
If you do, please come say hello to me.
Okay, I will.
God bless you, Chris.
Bye.
Thanks for your call, Chris. Sandy in Charlotte.
Excuse me, were you rushing Chris off the phone?
I said goodbye and I moved on.
You were just about to let her off before even saying goodbye. Where are your phone manners?
That's the finger puppet talking to you. That's not really Richard scolding me. It's my finger puppet.
It was the finger puppet.
Yeah. Gee, Richard, I'm sorry. We've held up Sandy, and now she's...
Sandy!
She wants to be on.
Hello.
Sandy, baby!
Hello.
My Sandy, baby! Hi, Sandy.
Good morning to you. How are you doing, Richard?
Where are you right now?
I'm in Charlotte at work, actually.
Are you from Germany, too?
No, I'm not. Believe it or not, I was born in Sumter, South Carolina.
Where did that accent come from? It sounded British to me.
Well, my mother is British. We spent about 13 years in England and about 20 in Africa.
Because you may not have noticed this, but people in Sumter don't talk like that.
No, the best I can do is y'all.
How are you feeling today? On a scale of 1 to 10.
1 to 10? I probably feel around about a 9.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
And why are you feeling so good?
Just had my hair chopped off, so that's actually taken a lot of neck ache away. So,
how long was it?
Roughly about the middle of my back.
Oh.
And you had a cut, you had a short bob?
Oh, yeah.
Do you like
short.
It?
Yeah, shocked everybody.
What did you do with the hair?
There wasn't enough hair to give it to anybody. So it just went in the trash.
So are you eating healthy and exercising?
Exercising, no. I'm one of those who like makes excuses every day, and I'll take the dog for a walk, good for about 3-4 days, and then I quit.
But I know you're concerned about your health because you had a question about how late you should eat at night, right?
Yes, we eat very late at night. I mean, we're really naughty.
So does the devil. The devil eats dinner at 11.
So do the Italians. They eat late at night, but then
they
walk.
Devil's Italian, same thing.
Oh. That's
so what time do you eat dinner?
To be honest, I'd have to say about 8:30, 9 o'clock at night.
And is it because your husband works late, or is that when you'd like to eat?
Well, by the time we get in and we feed all the animals and get everything sorted out and get dinner sorted, that's usually what time it is.
But do you take a walk afterwards? You and your husband go out for a walk? Or, I mean, do you do any physical activity?
No.
At that hour?
No, we go and sit down on the couch and watch the telly.
But at least you know where your problem lies. So
right.
You either have to do one or two things. You either have to get your dinner early before you feed the animals and do all that stuff and try to have an earlier dinner. Or right after you finish your dinner, if you could just take your husband and go out for a 20 or 30 minute walk,
right.
You'd feel so much better.
Right.
You know, I don't eat late at night because that was one of my big problems. Mm. I love eating late at night. But you're just sleeping. You know, when you have rack of lamb for dinner,
right,
you're sleeping with the rack of lamb at night.
Right.
And you're going from the dining room table to the bathroom to the bedroom.
Right.
You're carrying all that food inside of you.
Technically, what would you say is the latest that you could reasonably eat?
Well, I mean, between 6 and 7:30 is a good time, but you got to, at 7:30 after you finish, you got to go move a little bit.
Right.
You know, you're not going to go out there and build track homes at night.
Right.
You're not going bowling at night. I mean, but if you could just go down and take a little teeny walk after you eat, you'd feel so much better.
Right.
Well, so wonderful talking to you. Please say hello to your hubby for me.
I love
that. And the animals.
Oh, I will do that. God bless you.
God bless
you. Thank you, Sandy, for your call.
Thank you.
I think you were pushing Sandy off the phone there. I think you were terminating the call.
I think maybe you were holding up a sign saying next call, Mike.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you know, you're not here in the studio with us. He's got all these little signs here. And he has the sign going, hurry up. And then another one goes, big break. And then the other one goes, hurry the phone. You know, and I'm just trying to sit here reading, thinking, talking to people.
You wait till you have your own show. You'll see how hard it is. Matt in Mooresville, welcome to the program.
Hi, guys. Hello, Richard.
Matt, do you listen to Mike Collins a lot?
I do, and you're quite a healthy reality check for Mike this morning.
Matt, what do? You have such a great voice. What do you do?
You
sound like you should be on radio.
Actually, in high school, once upon a time, I did a little voiceover, so it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
What do you do now?
I work in finance, and this is the accent of a guy who grew up in Northern California and moved to Charlotte. So.
Wow. Don't waste your voice.
You
could go someplace and do voiceover work or. Come on, you can do this if you really want it.
I think he's making more
money. It's like somebody who's living in Charlotte who wants to be a Broadway star.
Yeah.
You know, and they live here and they get a nice house and car and they have a nice show and they get very settled. But inside, deep inside that person's heart, every night they sing to themselves, I had a dream. I mean, do you feel that way?
Matt, you still there,
Matt?
Are you there, Matt?
Matt.
That's gone.
Matt went away.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
Did you touch the wrong button? I didn't touch anything. What was
anything.
I on too long with, Matt?
I don't know. I didn't touch anything. And he wanted to talk about morbidly obese. I'm not sure. What, no. Eating habits. Say it again, Wendy. Eating habits for people who are not morbidly obese. Who just want to lose a little bit of weight. What should they do?
Again, you know, it's all about portions. You know, one portion of protein is 1 ounce of protein. You get 5 to 6 ounces of protein a day.
Okay.
You know, you just got to watch the portions. I mean, that's the main thing. Try to get your meals in. Don't eat dinner. What are you doing now? It's a sign.
No, Matt's back.
Matt!
Matt's back with us.
Matt,
I'm sorry,
what happened? I said you had a good voice, and I think you went to go get a job.
I know you thought I just ran right out for an interview. I know. But I just wanted to say, ask you a question and make a comment. You are the man, number one. I started watching you as a kid with my mom, and, you know, I just have so much respect for the way that you've held the line through all this diet and machinery insanity over the years. I've been caught up in it. I've owned a few things around the house, junk that I bought, that I sold, you know, that was equipment. Guaranteed to do this and that, and just to give you a nutshell, I'm 39, I'm 6'3 and about 218, and really a lot of my trouble, of course, is with the fat that you gain, that, you know, where you're not visibly overweight, but of course it's all around your organs and it's everywhere else. You know?
6'3 and 218 doesn't sound heavy at all to me.
No, but it's really as far as, you know, body mass and what composes your body. When you look at those numbers, sometimes it's a little startling. You know, and I've had that done responsibly, where they measure bone mass.
Do you feel overweight?
I feel lethargic because, like you, in the mornings especially, I suffer with asthma, and I have an electrical fault in my heart. It's nothing that stops any kind of activity or anything like that, but it's, you know, something that I've dealt with in the past that's always on my mind. And I'm just, you know, I don't like gyms because they're such a fashion statement.
Yeah, they are.
And,
isn't it strange, with all the overweight people that keep building gyms for the fit?
Yeah.
Gyms for the fit.
And you have that's what got you into opening Slimmin's. You kept going to gyms, and there were no people, they wouldn't let fat people in.
No. Well, overweight people don't like to go to those gyms, you know?
Of course not.
I found my identity through music. I've been playing for 20 plus years and so on. So, I mean, I don't really have a problem with, I don't like myself. It's just getting caught up in the work schedule and priorities.
Yeah, but you know what? You're 39 years old. You're a young guy.
No,
you are. You're a young guy, but you have to develop some kind of a exercise habit that's going to keep you, especially with your heart problem that's going to keep you healthy. You know, whether it's getting a personal trainer to the house and just letting him teach you some things, buying some videos, buying a good piece of equipment that you can do all your workouts in, and just start slowly. Are you walking? Do you do anything to burn calories?
Oh, I love to walk. I mean, I've got some great hills around my house.
I didn't ask you if you had hills around your house. I asked you if you walked them.
I don't walk them off.
The hills are alive, and I'm not there.
Yeah, with the sound of absence, yeah.
No, you're Matt's funny. You don't think Matt, if you don't think you have not only a great voice but a great sense of humor, I think maybe you want Michael's job. I don't know
well,
what I'm feeling.
He could be.
I can't do it like Mike, no.
Yeah, but Matt, you could be Richard's announcer. Somebody has to say it now. Richard Simmons on his talk show.
Well, I wish you the best of luck. Try to find some physical activity that you like.
I will do
and,
that.
And please take care of your heart.
Yeah, and I'll check out your stuff to find some good practical tips. I think I haven't been out there in a while, so.
Matt, thank you for your call.
Thank you, Matt. God bless you.
We have many people who wanted to talk to you, and we're running out of time here.
No.
So,
you know what? The 10 o'clock hour didn't seem like very interesting.
You know, you're
hour.
Right. Let's just stay
a
on.
A bunch of people, you know, journalists. Let's scratch that hour, and
okay.
Let's just take calls until the evening.
Anarchy. I have to ask you a very quick question. I have 30 seconds.
Yes, Michael.
I have your filmography here. Were you really in Easter Parade in 1948, or is that just a joke?
There is a Richard Simmons actor who now is dead. Who is now dead.
So you can't trust
I was born in 48. How was I going to be in a movie?
So I was going to say,
1 year
no
old.
Way. There's no
in
way.
In your Easter bonnet.
With all the frills upon
I want to thank all the listeners to listening to National Public Radio and Mike Collins' show. I'd like to thank you for your phone calls. I'd also like to thank you. Trying to